Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Title of the message, Put On the Whole Armor of God. Why would we do that? Because we're in a battle. A warfare. And it's very real. I know we can't comprehend how real it is. The warfare that goes on day after day after day. And we are involved in it. And we are told here, Paul writes, writing to the Ephesians and to us, to put on the whole armor of God. When men and women go off to war, they are made battle ready. They go to boot camp. Battle ready. And they are given battle garments. They're given weapons, ammunition. Well, God does no less for His soldiers, of which we are if we are His. We are not only His children, but soldiers. This struck me as I was reading this, that we are His soldiers in this life. Every child of God is in a real warfare with Satan, sin, and this lost world. Therefore, God has equipped us with what we need to fight this battle until He takes us off the battlefield. You know, usually when a saint of God dies, one of the first things that I think of One of the first things I think of is they have now been taken off the battlefield. Gone home. Gone home. Not in this fight no more. But we are. We're still here. We're still in it. And Paul says here in verse 10, Finally, my brethren, in closing, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. What is our strength in this battle? Where do we get it? Where is it? It's in the Lord. It's that simple. Our strength is the Lord. Paul said in one place, well, let's turn over to Philippians 4 and read it. Philippians chapter 4, look in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and this is something we learn too. Paul said, I've learned, this is something I've learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We do not start out that way, but we do learn it. God teaches us through trials to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's my strength. There is where I draw my strength for whatever I go through, whatever you will go through, the power to go through it, and to go through it graciously, is drawn from Him. The branch draws its nourishment, its strength from the vine. And Christ said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. In another place, he said, my grace, he said to Paul. Paul wanted to ask the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh. Three times he asked him. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough. That's all you need, Paul. It's my grace. My grace. Another place our Lord said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Christ is our strength in this battle. And he says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the trickery, the craftiness of Satan. He knows exactly where my weaknesses are. He knows where they are. And he's got a bag. I'm telling you, he's got a bag of tricks. He's got a bag of tricks. That's why he's talking about the wiles here. It's a trickery. It's the trickery of Satan. And to stand against him, the only way to stand against him is to put on the whole armor of God. Not just half dressed. You ever see a soldier go out half dressed to fight a battle? You put on the whole outfit. We're going to have this here in a little bit. You put on the whole outfit. And the whole armor of God is just this. It's the gospel. Christ is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. It's His person, His work. It's Him. Those whom God saves have put on Christ. Look over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 3 in verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Christ Himself is the believer's armor. He's our armor. And Paul gives us the reason why we are to put on the whole armor of God. To be saturated with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we wrestle not. Well, we do wrestle, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our problem here. That's not, the real warfare is not with my neighbor. The real warfare is not with other countries that want to take us over. That's not the real warfare. That's what the world sees. But we are given a different scene here. Paul is pulling back the curtain here. He's saying, here's the real battle going on. Here's the real battle. And we wrestle with this. I know a little bit about wrestling. I did it in high school. Here's what I do know about it. It is hand-to-hand combat. It's hand-to-hand combat. And you are trying your best to take your opponent to the mat and not let him move. And that's what's going on here. He's not saying we're just in an argument here. This is not an argument between us and darkness. This is not an argument between God and Satan. This is a real warfare. This is a real hand-to-hand battle going on here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's what we're wrestling against, principalities. Against powers, unseen powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemies are not flesh and blood only. They are more than physical opponents. They are evil spirits. It says here in high places, that's heavenly spheres. Our opponents are evil spirits. Now I may be standing talking to a man may be opposing me. He may be in my face. But there's something else behind that. You take the leaders of the world, of different nations. They all have their different heads of state. And we see them. And we hear them. We hear their policies. But that's not just them talking. There's a lot going on that you don't see. Evil spirits is what it says in high places. Satan has been allowed to rule this world of darkness since the fall. He's called the God of this world. Little g, but he's called the Prince of Darkness. And don't ever look at this world and think it's all right. It never will be all right. This world never will be all right. It will always be all wrong. Always. It's darkness. It's not light. It's darkness. Everything about this world is darkness. I remember Henry saying one time in a message, I don't remember what the message was, but he said, Satan owns Hollywood. He owns it. All that stuff that comes out, you know, and just entertains us. And I'm entertained. I'm telling you, there's some movies I watched, it moves me. But I realize in the books I read a lot of different books. I like to read. But I realize that apart from the Word of God, there's something dark behind this. There's something dark. I don't always see it and cannot always see it, but it's there. If it's not of God, it's not light. Is that right? If it's not of God, it's not light. If it's not of God, it's darkness. That's why you have to really watch when you watch anything or read anything. Because the whole world lies in wickedness. And everything about it is darkness. And don't think for one minute that the rulers of this world are alone. Was it Michael? I can't remember. Maybe you can remember, Frank. It was Michael. I can't remember if he met with Joshua. I probably shouldn't bring this up since I can't remember it. But anyway, he said he had to go after he was dealing with him there. He said, I have to go and fight with the Prince of Persia. You think they saw that? They didn't see that. Over in that battle, they're having a battle going on. They didn't see Michael. He said he had to leave. He said he was battling with the Prince of Persia. I think it's over in Daniel. When I read, first time I read that, I thought nobody in that battle over stabbing each other can see that spiritual warfare going on. Look that up when you get home. I will, because it'll bug me to death. So don't think for one minute the rulers of this world are alone. There's unseen power behind every one of them. Every one of them. There's unseen power. And they don't even know it. They don't even know it. They don't even recognize it. Now what is it that Satan is after? What is it he's after? Here's what Satan's after. Your mind. Your heart. That's what he's after. Your mind and your heart. Remember how he came at Eve? That's not God said. He got into her head. That's what he did. He got into her head. And she started listening to him. Next thing you know, the reasoning kicked in. Next thing you know, she's in trouble. Next thing you know, we're all dead. Trespasses and sins. Adam knew what he was doing. I want you to look at something here. Cole asked this once. He said, why do I have to obey? I told him to obey his dad. He said, why do I have to do that for? I told Jeremy today. I told him, I said, have him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, have him to read Ephesians chapter 6, the first three verses to you out loud. And I said, right there's why you do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. But you know what? Satan would have you not do that. He would have every one of these children be rebellious. To be rebellious. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Satan would have every father here to provoke his child to wrath. Every one of them. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Satan would have you to be disobedient to them that are your masters. He'd have you to build a wall between management, labor, and management. There's nothing more than he loves than have that wall build up. Have that separation, that going back and forth with each other. I'll never forget Henry said this one time. I believe it was in the Bible class. He said, when brothers and sisters argue, fuss, and fight all the time, that's just natural. Husbands and wives fight, they'll fight. And that's natural. And he said, no, it's not. And you know what? He's right. Between believers. Now, in the home of a believer, that's not natural. Where there is fussing and fighting, you can be sure. You can mark this down. That's satanic. Satan would have the wife not to be obedient to the husband. Satan would have the husband not love his wife as Christ loved the church. Is that right? He's after your mind. You start to reason things out. You know, you read the Word of God and that's what it says. Children, obey your parents. Then you start to reason things out. But this is the way I want it. This is what I want to do. Oh, we have a powerful enemy. Powerful enemy. That's why we are told to, in verse 13, wherefore, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we can see flesh and blood. You know, we can see each other. You know, we can deal with that, but we can't see the spiritual world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're not just wrestling with some little inch run around. We're talking about principalities and powers far greater than we are. Far greater than what we can imagine. And because of that, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And I'm glad it's of God. It's an armor provided by God. And I assure you, if God provides you and me with an armor to stand against the wiles of the devil, it's good armor. It's perfect armor. No chink in the armor. There's a lot of it in mine. The armor here is provided by God. And you put it on that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, the day of trials. Job had it on. My soul, we've been looking at that. That man was tried to the core of his very being. And he stood, didn't he? He stood. Oh, he's sitting there on the ground scraping the boils. In confusion, but at the same time, he's standing. Did he not say, I know my Redeemer will live? Oh, he's standing all right. He said, you put on the whole armor of God, which is the gospel. that you may be able to stand with, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, and having done everything necessary, everything that you are called upon to do, to stand. And that word right there, to stand, means victory. Victory. At the end of a wrestling match, the victor stands up beside the referee and he raises his hand. And the other one stands over there with his hands down like this and he's headed down. But he lifts his arm up and he's the victor. And having done all to stand, stand victorious. Victorious in Christ. And now he's going to give it to us parts of the armor. He's going to start describing parts of the armor. Stand, in verse 14, stand therefore. Don't lay down on the ground. That's what God said to Job. Job, stand up. Gird your loins like a man. Gird up your loins like a man. Stand up. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Wrap yourself in the truth of the gospel. Wrap yourself in the gospel of grace. Wrap yourself in the gospel of substitution. Just wrap yourself up in it. He said, gird it. You know those Roman soldiers, they'd gird on their sword. They would just strap that thing on and then tighten it up. And gird. He said, gird yourself about with the truth of the gospel. Christ said, I am what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Girt yourself up of Christ. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Wrapped tightly with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, when our soldiers go to war, when they're out on the battlefield, they wear bulletproof vests. Supposed to be bulletproof. What's our bulletproof vest? We have one. The believer's bulletproof vest against anything, any charge Satan wants to lay, anything that he wants to throw at it. That bulletproof vest is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's impenetrable. There's no chink in his armor. His righteousness repels all charges. Listen to Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can do that? The righteousness of Christ repels all charges. What a breastplate. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. His righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Every soldier needs good shoes. Every soldier. To give you a pair of shoes when you go into the military. Best shoes I'm sure it's the best shoes made. Because you're gonna go over different terrain. Some's gonna be rough, some smooth, long marches. You better have on a good pair of shoes. And you better have on a good pair of shoes that fit. They've got to fit. The gospel of peace is our shoes. It's our preparedness. It's our foundation. It is our constant and firm standing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We go forth with a gospel of good news. to the guilty. It's a gospel of peace. We're not trying to stir up trouble. Are you? I'm not. I'm not trying to stir up trouble. Just trying to tell the truth. And above all, you got your shoes on. You got that breastplate of righteousness on. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Those Roman soldiers, they had that big old shield. I think it's like four and a half feet long. And they held that right in front of them. That was right out there in front. I can't stress to you the value of faith. Faith receives everything from God. It receives everything of Christ. It receives Christ Himself. The greatest thing said about Abraham is what? He believed God. Abel believed God. Over in Hebrews 11, read all those who believed God. Moses left Egypt. He believed God. Noah built an ark, moved with fear. Why? He believed God. If you're going to go to battle, you want to go to battle for something you really believe, don't you? Nobody will fight. No one will fight like the man who believes what he's fighting for. And a man who believes God, watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. And that shield of faith here, it's not that it's Christ. Christ, you know, is the object of faith. He's that shield of faith. Look over in Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. I'm it. And this shield covers the whole person. God covers us. Your life is hid with Christ in God. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Look in Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Verse 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Look in Psalm 84. Psalm 84. In let me find 84 here. In verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him, from them that walk uprightly, but he is a sun and shield. Taking the shield of faith, which is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does a shield save us from? Well, it says here, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. And the other translation of that word darts is missiles. Missiles. You're not like a dartboard that's on darts. He's shooting missiles at you. That's what's going on. You and I tell you, the more I read in the Word of God, the more I realize how protected we are by Christ. Because He's shooting missiles at us. That you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. None of them stick. None of them stick. And this shield also shields us from the darts of fear and doubt. You ever have any doubts? You do until you turn to the Lord and He removes them. You think, why did I doubt Him? Why did I doubt Him? The Lord will provide. Why did I doubt that? And then when you get in that situation again, you'll doubt it again. You'll say, and again you'll say, why did I doubt Him? And you'll say that over and over until you die. At least I find that to be so with me. And then He says here in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That helmet is to protect your head. It's to protect your head. It's to protect that hope that we have in Christ. And I thought about this as I was looking at this. Whatever enters the heart has to pass through the head. It has to pass through my mind. And He said, put on that helmet. And Christ is that helmet. He's every part of this armor. He's every part of this armor. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every soldier has his weapon that he fights with. The believer's weapon is just the Word of God. And believe me, that's all we need. That is one powerful way. It cuts going and coming. Two-edged sword. Take with you the helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation, and the Word of God. In the hand of the Holy Spirit is all you need. I tell you what, if He takes His Word, as I stand here and preach, and Frank stands here and teaches these other men, if He takes His Word and He penetrates your heart with it, my heart, we will never, ever be the same. Ever. Never be the same. He'll conquer us. He'll bring us to His feet. He'll instruct us and teach us. Then He'll make soldiers out of us and put us on the battlefield. And our weapon will be His Word. It's not going to be gimmicks. It's not going to be, what do you do for the children? Well, we just entertain the daylights out of them. I mean, they're entertained from the time they get up. Aren't they? From the time they get up to the time they go to bed, our children are pretty much entertained in this day and time. Let's take a little bit of time and just tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. And then last of all, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with sincerity in the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, not just praying for yourself, but for one another. But pray about everything. That's what he's saying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Pray about absolutely everything. And pray all the time. Yep, mowing your grass. Pray. That's what he's saying. If you're washing the dishes, pray. I believe this. I believe when our Lord was not speaking and teaching, He was praying all the time. I don't believe he ever ceased. If he wasn't talking, he was praying. And we're told here to be in constant communion with the one who is our armor. You're on the battlefield. We are on the battlefield. Be in constant communion with the commander-in-chief. Constantly. This is the only army where every soldier is allowed at any given time to talk to the commander-in-chief. You don't have to go through channels of command. No, this is every soldier on the battlefield. You got direct entrance into his presence at any given time to talk to him. And he said, do it. Do it. If you don't, it's your fault. If you don't, it's mine. If I don't, it's my fault. Put on. Make an effort. Put forth an effort. A real effort. If you're on a battlefield now, you're on a battlefield. This is a real battle we are in. And it's one of those tricky battles. Satan's tricky. Crafty.